someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
For 17 years, he was at the center of some of the biggest fights in boxing history. Now his passion for sports has stirred old rivalries, sparked new partnerships, and inspired student athletes to be their best selves. He is an experienced sports executive, attorney, and savvy negotiator who is trying to show students how to excel on both the field and in the classroom. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the Howard University Athletic Director, Kerry Davis. So you are a Dartmouth College grad, a degree in political science, and a Cornell University law school. Tell me a little bit about growing up and what led you to those two esteemed institutions.
Well, I grew up in the South Bronx, and I was very fortunate at an early age to become part of a leadership program that was run by the Archdiocese of New York. And that program selected one high school student out of every Catholic school in the city. And it redirected me to concentrate on academics. So at the time I joined the program, I, like every other kid in the South Bronx, thought, oh, I'm gonna go to UCLA and play basketball and then go to the NBA. But for me, I was 5'1", I weighed 95 pounds. So this program just directed me to, you know what, maybe the best education you can get is better for you. And if basketball can help get you there, then that will only enhance the experience at college. So for me, basketball was a way to get a great education.
So it's good to know then that your brain and your mind was larger than 5'1" and 95 pounds, which often I think we don't tell our African-American male youth enough. But obviously somebody told you that early. Why Ivy League, or how did you get to the Ivy League?
For me, the young people who were already in the program, many of them had Ivy League educations, or they were going to Ivy League schools at the time. And I sort of attached myself to one mentor who actually went to Dartmouth undergrad, and he actually went to Georgetown Law School. And he was a basketball player. He played at my high school. And so he was sort of the role model that I followed. And he talked to me about becoming part of the quote-unquote establishment as a way to learn what they know, right, and then bring those values back to your community.
Now, tell me a little bit about your parents, because I'm sure there were some other influences on a personal level that allowed you not just to participate in a program, but to stay grounded around what your core values were.
That's a great point. My mother was a single parent. She had me when she was 19. She was a telephone operator at the time. But she always believed in the value of education. And having me at such a young age for her really interrupted that for her own experience. She's actually now gone back and gotten both her college degree, and she has a master's degree now in theology. She
Fantastic.
Just graduated last year at the age of 74.
Fantastic.
Right, so it was really terrific. She was a great role model in that respect. And she sent me to a Muslim kindergarten. I went to a Lutheran grammar school, a Catholic high school, and my grandfather was a Baptist minister.
Wow.
So she did everything she could to try to figure out a way to make sure I received the best education that I possibly could.
It sounds like you deserve a master's in theology now. You've had all the exposure. So you get to Cornell Law School. Coming out of Cornell Law School, what were the first jobs you landed and why? What influenced where you should go based on that?
You know, that's because when I went to Cornell, I still wasn't convinced that I wanted to be a lawyer. As a matter of fact, I was still thinking about coaching and maybe going into education and athletic administration at the time. hence full circle. So I gave a great deal of thought to staying. I worked at Cornell when I was in law school. I worked as a graduate assistant for the basketball team. So I gave a great deal of thought to staying into student athletics. But my classmates walking around the hallways were all talking Wall Street, and they were all talking how much money they were going to make. And I had pretty good grades. And so when the Wall Street firms came in, I was only one of three minorities in the school, right? So they were, you know, they were asking for, you know, who's your top minorities? And my name just kept coming up. So I had maybe 10 offers from law firms, and they just started competing and who's going to pay me more money. So at that point, I said, well, I can always go back to athletic administration. Let's get mom that new car. So money was really the driving influence. I ended up working at a law firm named Chadbourne Park, Whiteside & Wolf, which has about 500 lawyers. And it was, you know, one of those, for lack of a better word, sweat boxes.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Kerry Davis, the athletic director at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So I want to change gears a little bit. So you leave the White Shoe law firm and you decide to pursue some other areas, and you blend your athletic career and your interest in sports now with that. Walk us through kind of your thought process in terms of what you saw in terms of the intersection of entertainment and sports at that time.
When I left the law firm, I joined a company that did both entertainment and sports. My family had always been involved. My mother's sister was an R&B singer. She had a hit song back in the 60s called Just One Look. And she was actually in a singing group as a young kid with Whitney Houston's mother. So I grew up around the entertainment business. But I always had a passion for sports. So when I joined the company, I said, listen, let's see about acquiring television rights for sporting events. And we did that. We went out and we competed. And at that time, you know, soccer was one of the few events that we could get our hands on that was relatively cheap. You know, you weren't getting the NBA or NHL. But it was a way for me to get my foot in the door and follow my passion for sports and athletics. I've always felt that there was a symmetry between the two. Athletics, especially at the professional level, is entertainment. And you always try to tell stories with your athletic programs. And that's what we did. We became storytellers. And that led to my career, quite frankly, at HBO, where I joined HBO in 1997. And it was an opportunity for me to combine both my knack for entertainment and storytelling and my passion for sports.
And as I said in the opening, you've been involved in some of the biggest fights that have taken place in boxing history. What's your most memorable fight that you were involved in putting together?
The biggest fight was Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather. The most memorable, however, was Mike Tyson versus Lennox Lewis. Mm-hmm. That was an unbelievable atmosphere. I remember at the first press conference we did for the fight, we did it in a Paramount Theater, which seats about 5,500 people, and the press conference was standing room only. There were people outside, and that was the day that Mike Tyson attacked Lennox Lewis on the stage, right? and actually bit his leg, right? And then he went into this 10-minute tirade, some of which was directed at the HBO folks. And I tell you, I don't know if there was a more chilling, more memorable event that I had ever been in, seeing him like that. And at that time, I thought, you know, maybe he shouldn't even be fighting. That was how unsettling that press conference was. But we went ahead and we did the fight anyway. We did the fight in Memphis, Tennessee. It was a huge event. And I remember almost being spellbinded when the two fighters walked into the ring, of how much pressure I felt. And I said, you know what, there's nothing bigger at any, no Super Bowl. I've been to 17 or 18 Super Bowls. No no basketball event that's bigger than the energy that you get at a huge boxing event.
Excellent. Now, you've made the switch now to being the athletic director here at Howard University. As you know, my vision for athletics is that we are here to compete. As far as I'm concerned, college athletics is not a hobby, and I want competitive teams on the field. But I also want to make sure that we are graduating our athletes at a high level. And currently, we are certainly on our way there.
Well, that was one of the primary reasons I took this position, was because I shared your vision that athletics should be, at an institution like Howard, one of the focal points of the university. And it should enhance the academic program. I think of programs like Duke, programs like Harvard, programs like Stanford, programs like Michigan, where academics and athletics go hand in hand to become a part of the fabric of the university. In order to do that, you have to win, that's for sure. But you also have to recruit student athletes who can compete in the classroom. And then finally, the third part of this is you have to have student athletes who are going to be successful in life so they can then contribute back to the university and they can be role models for the next group of young teenagers that we bring in. And so I almost screen every recruit that comes through our program. I want to see their records before they get here. I study every team has to do a study hall. Every freshman in our program has to do 6 hours of study hall. I go over those sheets to see who's doing them because I want them to know that this is something I'm paying attention to. And I'm proud of our progress so far. We can be better, but our department GPA is almost a 3.1. Mm-hmm. We're graduating our students at a 70% rate. Mm-hmm. And and that's going to go higher. I'm focused on the idea of having our student athletes graduate in 4 years.
Now, there are obvious challenges around infrastructure when you bring high-level recruits. If you don't have a recent history of winning, getting on networks and on television, which is a big part of the attraction for kids now, it is part of the difficulty. What are some of the moves you're making presently to overcome some of those obstacles?
Well, first of all, some of them are affiliations. So, for example, and this is not to disparage any company, but the apparel deal that Howard had prior to me coming here was not one of the two or three hot brands that student-athletes wanted to be involved with. They hear Nike, they hear Under Armour. Those are sort of they are the hot apparel brands. So getting a relationship with them, first of all, really helped let student-athletes know that we were serious about athletics. Secondly, it was important to determine that if you win, and when you win, which we plan on doing, then all of those other secondary items will come. Television deals will come with winning. In basketball, for example, which is a sport I believe we have to be competitive in because we're an urban school, we had the leading scorer in the country. Well, that will allow us to be more marketable to networks because now they have something to sell. Okay, yes, they're playing Howard. We have Howard versus Harvard, and Howard has the leading scorer in the country. And then they'll talk about that on the telecast. I come from that world, so I know that those are the types of storylines we look to. And then the final thing is we have to control our message. So, for example, we're doing a deal with ESPN's The Undefeated, wherein they're going to embed with our men's basketball team and follow them throughout the season as an HBCU attempts to make the NCAA tournament for us the first time since 1993. And those kinds of storylines, following Daniels, the leading scorer, that's your way of selling yourself to the media and then also controlling the message.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Mr. Kerry Davis, the athletic director of Howard University, who is combining his experience in the courtroom as well as his experience in sports and entertainment to ensure that we are at the pinnacle of college athletics. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.